So you're welcome back to Lifeline on Near FM 90.3 with me, Ogo Enwarem. I have my guest today, Sandra. You're welcome to Lifeline.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Like I said, Sandra is a Sea Change Ambassador, and they've been working so hard to eradicate the issues and stigmas that surround mental health. So today, Sandra, I'd just like you to tell us a bit about yourself, about what you've been through, about what works for you, you know.
But basically, I'm like anybody else. I'm just a mom of three. My eldest now would be 27. I'm not sure. I probably experienced, to best my knowledge, my first mental health episode after I had my first child, and they would have said it was postnatal depression. So I would have put it down to hormonal changes. I had my second daughter quite fast after that, so it wouldn't have been treated. So I went on to sort of carry on with the rest of my life. I was working, at least I thought I was. I thought I was interacting with other people. But later on, I discovered that for me, I thought they were doing something wrong, but they seemed to see changes in me. And it took a holiday when my children were basically 2 and 3 for it all to manifest itself into a major breakdown for me. Mm-hmm. I got into conflict with my family. Maybe unknowingly to themselves, they didn't listen. They didn't read the signs. And if there was signs there, I mean, later on it was explained to me, I would have been very shaky, very nervous, very anxious. I was doing things that wasn't ordinary to others, that seemed very ordinary to me. I was constantly hiding out. I would go out in the late evening. I wouldn't participate in social events. But I thought every mother did that. I thought that's, you know, you were so overwhelmed with having children. Mm-hmm. That was normal. Mm-hmm. So, like I said, it came to a head on a family holiday. And for me, I put my two children into a buggy and I headed off. I thought the peace and tranquility, that was the best place to go. I was found later, I believe, quite upset, and like I said, I ended up being hospitalised. So that was the start of my journey. I thought I was recovered. I was on the recovery, but you know, I've had episodes, mm-hmm. and as I've gone on in life, I've started to recognise them as I got older, and with people like Sea Change, I started to actually put the jigsaw together, and I've accepted myself now. And like I said, that will be down to probably Sea Change telling me that I am, you know, it's okay not to be okay, but I'm also, I have a right, like everyone else, not to feel well and to ask for help. I often feel as if when I ask for help, it's they go back to the old story. Oh, well, we know what it is, Sandra. You know, mm-hmm. it's that thing again. It's that elephant in the room. And for me, that's where it's not acceptable. For me, if I went with a broken leg, would they say to me, oh, but that's because you broke your arm 10 years ago? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, no, but, you know, so for me, it was, like I said, it's just constantly trying to explain to people, I'm not ashamed anymore. I used to be very, very ashamed. I didn't talk about it. I describe it to people like I wore many hats. And depending on the situation I would be, I would wear that hat. So they would see this person like they would think would be confident, who would often go home and probably clutch in a room for a long time and not want to communicate or interact again for many, many hours again, or sometimes months. But then that's how I dealt with it, because nobody told me any other way.
Mm. Wow. You know, I sometimes do talk, but sometimes you just want to listen, and then I feel most times it's better you just listen to the person.
Very much.
You know, it's good to talk. If you're going through something, it's good to talk. Mm. But if somebody's talking to you, it's great to listen.
Yeah.
You know, because when you listen to other people's issues, you kind of understand that you're not there alone. You're not going through that alone. Or somebody has been through something worse than the worst of the worst. Very compared much. To what you've been through.
Yes.
But we're all individuals. We have our different needs, different expectations, different trials and challenges, you know. So well, the case of postnatal depression, I know Many women have gone through that. And sometimes they'll just say to you, oh, you just had a baby, so your hormone is all over the place.
And I have to say, even still, when I speak to a professional and they would say, what did you think it was? I would say hormonal, because it was easier to go into a doctor's surgery. It was easier to go along and say, like, oh, you know, I had a baby 3 months ago. I had a baby 6 months ago. I had a baby a year ago. And it was acceptable to be hormonal, particularly as a woman. You know, I can't speak for being a man. I would say it's probably even worse. But for a woman to go in and say, well, for me anyway, in my time, like I said, my eldest son is 27 now and my youngest is 17. So for me to be, you know, to try and look strong and go in and explain, it was very, very hard, because what was I explaining?
Mm-hmm.
I had physical symptoms. I had a severe pain in the back of my neck. I had constant toilet visits, I will describe them as, where before I would go somewhere, or sometimes just for no reason, I would eat food. I would say, I'm lactose intolerant. I'm not, but I would use that as an excuse. I would meet people, I would start to get very shaky and nervous. I would say, I must have a virus. And when I would say that to the doctor, he would sort of agree and say, yeah, I think it's a virus. Here's such an amount of antibiotics, go off and use them. I would go in, I would say, I have this pain in my side. And that's the only way I can describe this form of depression for me. I would say, I have a pain in my side. And I would have a physical pain in my side. And they would sit and they would look at me and they would say, yeah, yeah. Particularly if I went to a new doctor. Okay. I have to say, probably a lot of women will be able to acknowledge what I'm saying today. You found, if, like you said, the doctor wasn't listening, you went to a new doctor and you thought, they don't know my past. I'd start from scratch. I will explain to them, you know, I just don't feel well. Things are not right. And you would go in and for the first few visits, yeah, they would listen and you would think they were engaging. But for me, I suppose when stigma really started, that I started to really hide away again, was I went to a particular doctor in my local area and she had known me and she was a woman and I thought, this she will understand. And I went in and I explained my situation and about the pain in my side. And I said, I get dizzy. I just don't feel well. I become overwhelmed. And she said, yeah, 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 I know what it is. And I was so relieved. I had found somebody who I thought understood me. So I remember feeling really, it actually lifted me. In that moment, I felt so elated. Thankfully, I had found somebody. This was just before my third child. And I thought, I found somebody. And she gave me medication and she said, go off and take this for a week and you're going to feel a hell of a lot better. And I thought, great, this is what it is. And I went to the chemist, and when I went into the chemist, I had the courage and I said, what are they for? And he said, they're for constipation. So I remember coming out and standing at the side of the wall and basically breaking down and thinking, I don't want, you know, nobody gets this. Nobody understands. No one's ever going to understand.
But you never complained about constipation. You never complained about anything to do with your bowels.
The only thing I can put it down to was this pain in my side that she didn't get. What to her must have been, she thought she'd never sent me to be checked or anything, but that it must have been my bowels, so she gave me the tablets for that. So I think after that, I quickly went downhill again. I started to withdraw a lot and my husband became quite concerned. I remember saying to him later, why did you not do something quite earlier when you saw me being different when I had the children and all? And he said, because I didn't know what to do. Mm. I didn't know. I thought if I ignored it, it wasn't there. He said, I would see you rocking, crying, and I would get very angry with you because I would think I could make you better by telling you to cop on. And you know, this is going, you know, if the kids are overwhelming, you ask for help. Don't always be saying you can do it. And he said, I just didn't get it. I didn't realise that someone like you could have a mental health issue.
I know.
You know, and like I said, that probably in one way, like I said, explains a lot of my whole life. That people, my family, my friends, they thought I was just being awkward. I was being, you know, narky. I wasn't willing to go along with the crowd and I wasn't willing to cop on. So I lost friends quite quickly and I lost family friends quite quickly as well. And from that perspective.
not realizing that you had an issue that needed to be dealt with. You needed help. You needed encouragement from the people that love you. You know, I hate it when people just conclude that everyone is the same. Oh, you're not the only one that's had a baby. Get on with it.
Yes.
You're not, after all, you're not the youngest. Get on with it.
Yes.
You know, not realizing that everyone is different. You know, I have a friend, she has, I think, 2 girls, and then she was pregnant for the third one, but the husband only wanted 2 kids. So when she found out, she was on contraceptive when she got pregnant. She was really sad because at that stage, she was moving up, like, up the career path. So yeah, she didn't want the baby at all. And the man was like, you're so stupid. What did you do? You're a woman. You're meant to take care of yourself. You know, so that kind of triggered it. And it's funny, when she was telling me her story, I was just like, I don't expect this from you. You're quite strong. So you mean this could happen to you? And funny enough, she went from being pregnant, after she had the baby, she had serious case of postnatal depression. And it took a lot. Even now, she's managing, this is like over 6 or 7 years, but she's managing it now. Because she says it to me, she said, I can't even believe this could have happened to me. So yeah, mental health is just like physical. Sometimes if we don't take care of it, it comes up. Sometimes you just, even if you take care of it, things just happen.
Yep, true.
You know, things just happen. So, you know, as a Sea Change ambassador, what do you speak for? What do you, you know, we're talking about stigma now, but how would you like to educate people on examples of stigma? You're giving the one about your GP. You know, I believe she should have listened enough and kind of asked you what's precisely you're going through. Because, you know, sometimes we mask our issues with other issues, you know. Even sometimes you can look at somebody and pick what's really going on, and that's not the issue that they exhibit, you know. So as an ambassador, what other things will you kind of label, or from your point of view, will you kind of see as being stigmatic?
Well, I suppose the worst is, like I said, I find when you go to a, like I said, somewhere like a doctor's surgery, maybe, like I said, you go to, and this is going to sound, like I said, I'm a mother, you know, what would I know, but you often go to a conference about mental health, and they will talk about all these different things that, you know, that's coming on stream or that they're doing, and you sit there and you think, why don't you do a forum and ask the people who are being affected?
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you, like you say, listen? Why isn't there more supports there for people that if they find they're having a difficult time, they can. I mean, I know we have the Samaritans, I know we have all these counselling services, but sometimes, you know, it's a stranger at the end of the phone who really can't engage because they haven't been there. They don't know. And it's that stigma of trying to start from the scratch and explain to them what it's like on the bad days. I mean, nobody knows what it's like on my bad day. I don't know what it's like on your bad day.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if that was more public knowledge, if we had forums like this that we could actually talk about it, if we could have other people who have been through the same thing that can say, hey, I've been there, this is what I did. You know, but we don't. We hide away. And I would be, though I'm a Sea Change ambassador, I get times when I don't openly speak about, you know, certain individuals because I know they will look at me differently. I know if I go for a job and I say, you know, I'm a Sea Change ambassador. Oh, you're marvellous. That's great. And it's great to come in here and talk on a radio show. But I mean, to actually go forward and take up a position, well, you know, you'll probably have more bad days than good days. So do you want to put that pressure on yourself? Do you need that pressure? Yes, I probably do. I need recognition. Don't stigmatise me because I have a mental health issue and I speak about it. Engage with me. Understand. I can be an asset if I'm just given the time. And it's that kind of, you know, you'll go into a shop. Yes, sometimes I fluster when I go into a shop. I might be having a bad day. People look at you differently when they know you have a mental health issue. That shouldn't be. We should all be engaging. Because I totally believe that there's nobody in this world at some time in their life will not have a mental health issue. And we all need to just listen and be aware.
You know, for me, I think that sometimes maybe the fear is from not knowing, and also from what education and the society has kind of taught us about mental health. Because once you talk about mental anything, people look think individually, we just kind of have it in our brain, crazy,
very much,
or mad.
Yes,
even without seeing the person or knowing who the person is. So is that fear? We're afraid. We don't know what to expect.
So we don't share.
Yeah.
I wouldn't openly share. I mean, to be quite honest, even when I go for treatment, I'm very aware that I'm going into either a particular area in a hospital, or I'm very aware I'm going into a certain part of the clinic, and I sit at the back of the room and I'm observing people going in and out. And I'm going to be quite honest, even as a Sea Change ambassador and with all the education I've had, I would still be the one that if I see somebody coming through the door I recognise, be putting the paper up and pretending that isn't me. And that's what I mean about the other hat. I would put another hat on and be, hi, how are you? How is everything? And yet I'm probably the one most in need sitting in that waiting room.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's the stigma. Someone said, why are you here? I mean, for many years when I attended Beaumont, I used to pretend I was going to the diabetic clinic. There's something to wish on yourself. I wished I was a diabetic sinner than had mental illness. So, you know, it's just, that's what I mean about stigma.
Mm-hmm.
Because I can honestly say people have looked at me different. They wouldn't, if they probably, I would, like I said, be around children with special needs, and they probably would stand back a bit if they said, oh gosh, you know, I heard her on the radio and she suffers with mental health. I mean, get rid of the mental part, please.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, I have a health issue.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, like I said, if I broke my leg, everyone would be running to help me up the stairs.
Mm-hmm.
But yet if I go in and say I have a mental health issue, they walk on the other side of the step.
Yeah. You know, last, was it 2 weeks, I had, that was Miriam Dowling.
Yeah.
And we're talking about the name, mental health issues, health and all that. And I said, could it just be in the name? That
very
sometimes,
much.
And you just said that now.
Yeah.
Sometimes it might just be the name. Once you say it, everybody thinks, oh, cuckoo.
Yeah.
You understand? So maybe the name as an ambassador, maybe that's another step.
That we need to look at.
You have to consider or look at, you know. Maybe change the name, you know, to something else. Something more positive.
And plus that will make people be aware, as in, you know, maybe today's the day to be a little bit kinder to that person.
Yeah.
I mean, you're very right. You're very right about the name. I mean, for a long time in disability, we would have had some horrendous words we would have used around disability. We don't use them anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So why around, like I said, your mental health?
Mm-hmm.
Why can't it be like an uncomfortable feeling or anxiety even sometimes?
Exactly.
Doesn't feel, sound,
exactly.
Don't, you know, as bad.
Yeah.
And people will be more sympathetic to anxiety than, like you said, they do to the word mental health.
Mm-hmm. It's a heavy word.
Very,
you know,
much,
it's vast, it's broad, it encompasses so many things in it. It's not just because somebody, okay, for example, now somebody's suffering from anxiety, somebody's suffering from depression, somebody maybe is a schizophrenic,
schizophrenic.
Yeah. And there are so many other, bipolar, there are so many other things. And there are also some that theirs is so great that they are not just harmful to themselves, you know, but they are also harmful
to others.
Others. Not just mentally, but physically.
Yes.
You understand? So it's different. So I think most times when you talk about that, people don't think about the person that, oh, maybe she's just... Things trigger her anxiety or things trigger her depression. Once you just say mental, everybody thinks, oh, maybe she's that one that just came out from St. Eta's. Or
very
she's that
well.
One
oh,
that
prison.
Came out from...
Oh, prison.
Yes,
yeah,
you understand?
Yeah, you do,
oh, that's that psychopath.
Yeah.
Watch out for that psychopath.
Yeah.
So it's really, we really need to work to see that this is changed, to see that, you know, people go through a lot, but they also want to make a change in their life. You're working hard.
Yeah.
To see that you live your life to the full. You're working hard to see that this doesn't happen to people you know,
yes.
Or doesn't happen to your loved ones, or doesn't, you know, it's all about change.
Very much. And awareness.
Yes.
To be aware. I mean, to be quite honest, people would often say, why do you do it? And the only thing I can say is, you know, if I can help somebody who you know, to make their 1 hour easier, mm-hmm. and they don't go through what I went through, particularly with my family as well. Like I said, your own, you know, your immediate family, sometimes it's very hard to talk to, mm-hmm. you know, because you always want to give the impression as if you're strong and you're capable, and nobody wants to feel that they're not capable of helping another family member. So that's where the problem is.
Oh, you know, but for me, I feel that family is family, though, you know. So whatever you're going through, family should be the first to know. Though sometimes I get you, it's difficult to confide in family because you always have this thing in your head. How are they going to take it?
Very much. Yeah.
Maybe they are going to judge me now.
Yeah.
What am I going to expect? Or what? This is not what they expect from me.
Very much, you know? So. And yeah. because we all have different personalities, I find, well, for me personally, I pushed people away and gave this other image. Mm-hmm. And that's what I mean, where they probably thought I became more arrogant or I became more self-centered and all. But really, it was a coping mechanism for me to try and, like I thought, get myself back. Because if I could have that 5 minutes, if I could have that hour, if I could just have that week without any other interference, I'll be back as strong as I was, you know. And I said, like Arnold Schwarzenegger,
I'll be back.
And that's exactly how it was. I always felt like I was a warrior, mm-hmm. and I was fighting. And like, that's what I mean, you know, people would see me and I would often get upset because maybe, and this is going to be a contradiction in itself, but maybe because they would come to me for help. And I would be struggling. Mm-hmm. I would be swimming, really, at the shallow end at this stage. And they would be coming to me and I'd be saying, can they not see? I can't take any more. Mm-hmm. And I would probably sometimes, you know, snap their head off. But to me, I didn't want them to see that real person that was there. So if they walked away and said, that's a cheeky old, you know, I won't even use some of the words, mm-hmm. you know, that's the image I wanted them to see. I didn't want them to see this person rolled up in a corner and not being able to eat and feeling like I can't listen to another sound. I don't want it. I want to hide away. I just need to be on my own.
We're talking about issues with mental health, and then we're thinking maybe the name shouldn't actually be mental health because it kind of puts people away or puts that fear factor in people you come across. So now, Sandra, I'm just wondering, what has worked for you?
Well, basically for me, like I said, it was recognizing the situation. It was getting involved in places like Sea Change, who was, like I said, made me aware that it's okay, like I said, to speak about it, to be public about it. But also I linked in with an organization called the FSN, which is the Finglas Suicide Network. And I went up and I'm involved with themselves now, helping and supporting other people. Now, I won't always have great days, but I found that gave me a bit of support and a bit of understanding that there was other people like me feeling the exact same way on the same kind of day. And another thing I do endorse as well is CBT. It's cognitive behavioural therapy. And what it does is it basically grounds you and makes you understand that a lot of your thinking is, you know, affects your behavior. So if you're aware of what you're thinking, you can bring it back down. And it also links into mindfulness and other therapies. I mean, I would do yoga now as well, which is something I would have been unheard of. I would have thought that was always for older people, just like mental health was other people. It was never actually me. So it was for me to become aware and to actually approach other people and get out there and say, okay, I acknowledge I have a mental health issue. And that's what Sea Change has done for me. It's helped me to acknowledge myself, to recognise that it's okay for me to have an issue and to understand that, you know, there'll be always days like this, but there'll also be very good days. And that's what I should be happy about. And I should be able to have enough good days to get me through the bad days.
Okay. And I should have asked this first anyway. What triggers it? Because you were saying something, you said at night you recognize some things that happen or when something's about to happen. So what's triggers?
Well, for me, like I said, I would be getting anxiety management at the moment. And for me, what happens is I could often be walking into a room and it could be a smell that will trigger it, a smell mm-hmm. that will bring me back. And all of a sudden I would be in a haze. I would feel very uncomfortable. Now, like I said, being the person with all the hats, I would try and pull on a hat and give the impression everything is okay. But now I'm aware of it. What I do is I try, you know, to maybe close down that situation quite quickly and retreat to my private space and understand, okay, you know, I may end up in the toilet, but at least I'm aware. I'm not going to die. I'm not going to pass out. Because for a long, long time, and I have to say, honestly, when you're going through the feeling, you do think you're going to die. You do feel as if there is no way out. And I have often got to the stage where I would often feel the pain of life is so overwhelming that the other option, you know, was to be considered. Now, thankfully, I think about that less and less.
Mm-hmm.
Now, thankfully, I say, you know, there's other people like me out there. And like I said, I can ring other people now. There are counsellors that I would know now that I didn't know I could go to before, because I thought, you know, I'm putting myself out there.
And the counselling, is it free?
Or the counselling, no, it's donation based. And like I said, it whatever you can afford, which is in when I had young children, would have been ideal. Like I said, now I look at other people availing of that, and it's brilliant, because like I said, the more counselling, little outlets, no matter where it is, sometimes just to go in and for someone to say, I know what you're talking about. I've been there. And I really think people who have suffered mental health issues, if they can, if they get strong enough, please go back and help somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was through someone helping me that I'm here today.
Okay. And the free counselling, what are they called? Or where?
Well, I'm with the Finglas Suicide Network.
Okay.
And that's in Mellows Court in Finglas, Dublin 11. But there are many around. I mean, PIESA is there. Okay. And like I said, they're all donation based. You know, if you can't afford, you will not be turned away. And like I said, in my opinion, there should be more of those. There should be more psychologists in the community. I mean, I've remarked, they're closing down the clinics. That was a big trigger for me. I have to say, I was very, I felt very in my comfort zone when I used to be able to attend the hospital when things were bad, and I knew they knew me and they knew my family.
Mm-hmm.
When they closed the clinic, I went into total meltdown. I just couldn't cope. I didn't know what to do. It was like my lifeline was taken. They put me into the community. I suffer with anxiety and depression. You're putting me into another strange environment that I wasn't used to. I even speaking about it now, I can feel the hairs on the back of my neck talking about it. I have to start from scratch again. You know, that's very unfair for somebody who suffers with depression. The stigma there to go into, like I said, a waiting room with other people sitting maybe to get their teeth done, or they're going to see their social worker, and you sit there feeling isolated and the only person there that has a mental health issue. And you sometimes feel, I can't do this, and you get up and you walk out. I don't want that to happen. I want there to be, you know, more services there. I want them to be that little bit more private. So when I'm ready to come out, I can come out, not because I'm being forced out. I mean, you know, putting it into the community is one thing, but give us that little bit of privacy and space as well, and that understanding.
But you know, sometimes, even if you're in the community, like you said, maybe somebody's waiting to see the dentist or the public health nurse or to go for speech therapy. Nobody knows what you're there for.
Well, but unfortunately, because you have a mental health issue, you feel, and you're very right what you say, and that's where the stigma has to be removed. We should have the same, probably, area for everybody to sit, but unfortunately, there is areas for people who attend the psychiatrist.
Oh, okay.
And there is areas for people that attend the teeth. So if you're smart enough, like I've done for many years, mm-hmm. and you sit on the side where they're going for diabetes, you just live in hope that people will think you're going to the toilet when you're called to go in and see your psychiatrist.
Okay.
So it's that kind of idea. Just put a little bit more thought into it. You know, help us to take the stigma out. You know, like I said, I'm not saying make the chairs more comfortable just because you have a mental health issue. What I'm saying is just, you know, just open up more areas for people to go. Make it more mental health friendly.
And would you want to maybe suggest that, maybe in writing to... You know,
well, I have to say, I think the fact that, like I said, I am with Sea Change, and like I said, that I am with, like I said, Mental Health Ireland, and like I said, the Finglas Suicide Network and other agencies. I'm hoping that I'm part of a forum that are trying to change the attitude, because it is about attitude.
Mm-hmm.
It is about people's attitude, and we've said it earlier, to do with mental health. So if we can open it up and make it more personal friendly. If we can say, you know, that's okay. The psychologist and the psychiatrist sit hand in hand. You don't go into a different door. That this is, we're all in the one boat here. So we just go in at different sections. But we might all come out the same door eventually. And that is the hope. You know, I'm all for putting things in the community. I'm all for supporting our, you know, keeping our communities very close and making people very aware we're all here. But sometimes if the right structures are not in place, it's very difficult for the individual with the mental health issue to try and take it on board and fight the world, because they're fighting their own mental health issues every day. I mean, the day you think I'm having a bad day, that's the day I'm fighting the hardest, you know, to keep myself there and to sort of keep on that road that they told me, you know, is going to change. And it does change. I'm not going to say, you know, every day is a bad day. I have some brilliant days. I have some brilliant weeks. And it's on them weeks I do the best work. But it's on the weeks that I'm fighting hard is when the work is actually done.
Hmm. Interesting. Well, I have to say that your breath of fresh air and that colour on you is fantastic.
Very much.
You're just like sunshine in the studio. You know? So what would you like to say to people that are going through, you know, we're talking during the break about the pain or some of the signs, things you might be experiencing, and you'll be thinking, okay, maybe something is going on here. You know, you can't really identify what it is, you know, because for you, you've been through it. You know, you've been through it, but there are still younger people coming up, like maybe, let's say, from 15, 16, 17, and they might be blaming themselves, oh, something is wrong, or
yeah,
this is what's happening to me. Because I had somebody, and she said, oh, that people were saying to her, but you have everything going on for you. Your parents are quite comfortable. You have everything that you need. So why can't you just be happy? And she kept blaming herself. She said, oh, maybe she's... sorry, maybe she's an ungrateful child. She has all this, and she just kept putting it to herself. And the more she put it to herself, the deeper she went.
Very much.
Until something happened, and she kind of lost control and ended up in hospital. That was when she realized that, or the family realized that, it was not that she had something going on in her life. You know, so for people that are experiencing that, or whatever, I don't want to put a name to it, because there are so many issues around mental health. Yeah. What would you like to say to them?
Well, for me, is like I said, talk to a friend. Mm-hmm. And if there isn't a friend, talk to a stranger. Mm-hmm. Go to your local doctor. Go to and see. Look up the web. I mean, we've got so much now, like I said, in the local areas going on. But for me, I have to say as well, get involved. Say to yourself, okay, I don't know what's going on here. I have to find out. Get the information. Get involved. Find out what's out there. Like I said, people like See Change, they're so young now coming up. I mean, if I'd have had the information when I was growing up that I have now, I think I would have alleviated a lot of the pressure and upset and depression that I went through. Now, I'm not saying, you know, in hindsight is a wonderful thing, but what I am saying is there is so much out there now. We were so, you know, so brought up to believe you didn't talk about. There was no such thing as mental health.
Mm-hmm.
As they peel away the orange for me, and that's the way I describe it, I've discovered that mental health was something you don't, if you were, you know, that's a weakness. She suffered with her nerves. That's what someone weak does. I'm not weak. So you didn't acknowledge it. If you're having a problem, if you feel, you know, originally when I ended up in hospital, I thought I was having a brain tumour. The pain was so bad, it was a brain tumor in my head. And you know, I hate to say it, that would have been a relief.
Yeah.
Because it would have explained it. I just wanted someone to say, give it a name. Just give it a name. Tell me that it's... But when they said mental health and anxiety, I thought, no, don't give it that name. No, give it a physical name.
Mm-hmm.
Say that, you know that I have this growth somewhere. I mean, that's horrendous to say now, but that's how bad it was for me. I didn't want to acknowledge. And when I started to acknowledge that it was okay to have a mental health issue, I started to get back on that road to normal.
Hmm.
And whatever normal is. And like you said, I mean, my second trigger was when I got a new house when I was around in my 30s. And you would say, oh, she has everything. Why is she? What's her problem? But it was just, I wasn't able to cope. And if someone had copped that maybe a lot earlier, if I had had the information, I would have been empowered. So information, knowledge, be empowered, try everything. And like I said, please get involved. I mean, I'm involved in allotments with kids with special needs now. I'm involved in mental health. You know, I'm out there, and that's what's making me well. because on my bad days I can look at others and think they're the exact same as me. They all need help and support.
Okay, thank you so much, Sandra. So the positives, information is key.
Awareness,
knowledge.
It's so empowering to have that knowledge. And for me, I mean, they always say in Sea Change, end on a positive. I started off talking about my life and my family and about how I felt the pain of life was more overwhelming than I considered death. The consolation that I always say when I give a talk is, they, like I said, the end on a positive is them two children that were with me that day are 27 and mm-hmm. 25 now. They are doing so well in life. They are so happy. I thought for a long time my mental illness had affected them in a negative way. They tell me I was the most crazy person they ever met, and it was so positive they wouldn't have had it any other way. And now my third child is 17, and like I said, I'm hoping to be on the same road. He has other challenges.
Okay.
And like I said, for me, it's just opened a new door, a new life, a new chapter for me. And I'm hoping that's what it'll do by talking here today. It's a new chapter. Please go out there, ask for help. And if you don't get my number, come and I'll torment you instead.
Thank you so much, Sandra. So you've all heard Sandra, and life is a challenge. It's a roller coaster too, if you would like to see it that way. It's full of fun, screaming and shouting, but in a fun way. So get involved. Don't just sit there and mourn. Go out and do something, affect other people's life, even if it's for 1 second or for 1 minute. Think positively. They always say what doesn't kill you always makes you stronger. We're all survivors. You just have to keep on fighting and never give up. So